Hey church, this is Paul. Welcome back to the Disciple SBC podcast. I am here with Kelton today. Hey Kelton, how are you?
I'm good, brother. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, excited. We are recording this on Wednesday, August 3rd, which is the Wednesday following our conclusion of our Psalms series. And so we are going to take some time together, Kelton and I, to reflect on the Psalms and some things that we've learned and some ways we were helped. In some ways, we hope you all, as the church, were helped as we considered the Psalms together. So I'm going to start with an easy question, Kelton. Did you have a favorite Psalm that we covered?
Yeah, it's hard to pick. Yeah, probably just the most recent one, so Psalm 112. No, but yeah, I think overall, looking back on the series, Psalm 34. Yeah, so filled with sweet promises, sweet truths, especially that verse we all know and love well, verse 8, taste and see the Lord is good, blesses the man who takes refuge in him. So, yeah, just encouraged by that psalm and David's testimony of his own tasting and seeing the Lord is good for us to continue to taste and see the Lord is good. How about for you?
Yeah, it is a hard question. So I'm going to answer it kind of two ways. Of the ones I didn't preach, which were most of them, I'd probably say Psalm 33, mostly because it wasn't a familiar psalm, but I think that was the psalm Bill Deckert was preaching and proclaiming for us, and as he unfolded it, I was helped to see the glory of our God as we see in Psalm 33. Just an example in verses 10 and 11, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So just this big picture of who God is was wonderful, helpful, as we considered that psalm together. But if I'm being honest, my favorite of all was probably Psalm 34. It's the one that I've gone back to the most over the summer, as I've, in my own personal devotions and my conversations with other people, yeah, just kind of constantly going back to how are we experiencing the goodness of God today.
Amen. I've used verse 19 a lot as well. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Yeah. Saints, if you haven't read Psalm 34 again since then, I'd encourage you to do that. Well, Paul, for you, what was the hardest part of preaching the Psalms this summer?
That's a great question. Yeah. So I preached, got to preach them three times, twice for SBC, once for the saints at North Stafford Baptist. I think for me, the way to summarize what was the hardest part was not jumping to Jesus too quickly. We'll talk about it in a little bit, just how wonderful it is, that how much we see Jesus throughout the Psalms. But they were also Psalms written at particular times to particular people in a particular context. And most of those people, right, had a hope of a Messiah, but they didn't know that Messiah was going to be Jesus or what that looked like. And so, yeah, just wanting to give proper attention to what those Psalms were doing in their original context to that original people and how that is applicable to us. Certainly that's applicable to us through Christ and in Christ. But yeah, just not jumping to Jesus too quickly, probably the way I summarize that. What about for you? What was the hardest part of preaching the Psalms?
Yeah, certainly the task to preach Psalm 109, which I suggested might be the most imprecatory of the imprecatory psalms. That is, psalms that call down curses on our enemies. And again, just as you're saying, that we can't jump to Jesus too quickly, that this really is the prayer of David against his real enemies at a time in history. Thinking through, after Christ, how we as Christians can pray these things. So it was really, really helped in that psalm of thinking of how this fits in the bigger picture of the Bible, which we'll talk about more later. But yeah, it really helped to place Psalm 109 in the context of the whole Bible. And that's just so important in reading difficult passages as well.
Yeah, and I thought you did that really well, brother. Pray and do good, and from that psalm. So I really appreciate your work there. Well, the Psalms were not just hard to preach. There were great joys in preaching the Psalms. What was one of the greatest joys of preaching the Psalms for you?
Yeah, as we've already said, just seeing Christ in them. It's abundantly clear that they, the Psalms together, all 150 of them, predict Christ. Not in the same way that prophecy might, but they are a shadow of Christ, and he is the substance, right? That as they look forward to a king like David, he is that king. As they all look forward to deliverance, he is the ultimate deliverance that they hope for. So yeah, I think there are certainly challenges in how in each psalm we would see Christ, but it's certainly a joy to know that that is true and to experience it in the psalms that we got to preach this summer. How about for you? What was the greatest joy for you in preaching the psalms this summer, Paul?
I think for me, seeing how all the psalms fit together in their canonical structure. So, you know, just for an example of that, your work in Psalm 107 and then me being able to follow that up with Psalm 108 was really helpful, right? Psalm 107 is, as we understand it, a song kind of as the exiles were returning from exile. So they were in exile in Psalm 106, praying, pleading that the Lord would save them. And in Psalm 107, the Lord has saved them. And so they are giving thanks and calling all the redeemed to give thanks to the Lord. And now they are praying for, in Psalm 108, deliverance, that confidence that God, who has saved them once, will bring them through their enemies as they come and return back to the land. And so I think that just seeing that was a great joy. And I thought the commentary, we used the commentary consistently, both you and I, Jim Hamilton's commentary on the Psalms, which I think what he does really well is help make those connections. So it became even more clear through reading that of those.
Yeah, even as you say that, I almost want to change my answer to saying the same. But yeah, there's so many joys. Well, Paul, what we've said is that all the Psalms point to Christ. Mm-hmm. Are there particular ways that you grew this summer to see Jesus more clearly through this series in the Psalms?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there were kind of overarching ways that I think I saw Jesus more clearly, but just to be maybe a little bit more specific, I thought I saw Jesus more clearly through Psalm 109. So you, when you were preaching that, you helped us see, yeah, that this is the story of the Bible, that the seed of the woman is consistently opposed by the seed of the serpent. Starts in Genesis 3 with the serpent opposing Eve, and then it continues in what God promises, that ultimately there will be a conflict, but the seed of the woman will have victory over that seed of the serpent. And that's what we're seeing, right? We're seeing the conflict in Psalm 109 of David, who is the seed of the woman, with whoever is opposing him at that time. And the promise at the end of Psalm 109 is that the Lord stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. And that is what God did with Jesus. He stood at the right hand of Jesus, delivering him through his resurrection. And therefore, yeah, we have confidence of deliverance, vindication over our enemies, maybe not in this lifetime, but certainly when Christ returns. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was a wonderful way of helping me see Jesus clearly as we went through the Psalms. Mm-hmm. What about you? How did you come and grow to see Jesus clearer through the Psalms?
Yeah, I mean, it's abundantly clear to me why they are. The book of Psalms is the most quoted in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it was particularly the categories that the Psalms, all the Psalms can fall generally into to one or one of two categories. Either they are songs sung by Christ, that we should read them as obviously the words of David or another psalmist, but prefiguring what Christ might say. Psalm 22 is a great example of this, though we didn't preach it here. You were preaching it at North Stafford, quoted by Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So we should understand in David's experience, prefiguring what would be the experience of Jesus. So yeah, Psalms could either fit in the category of the words of Christ or words to Christ, speaking of Christ. So I think Psalm 110, one of the sermons we had this summer, is very clear to this, right? This is something that David is celebrating the coming king, right? He's looking, this is a forward-looking psalm to the coming Davidic king, and this is him reflecting on the speech that the Yahweh makes to his Lord. So I think, yeah, just having those two categories, is this a psalm that is a hymn sung by Christ or to Christ about him? So I think just having those categories as I read through the psalms is really helpful to sort out how I should look to Christ, look for Christ in them.
That's great. Yeah, those two categories are really helpful. Songs sung by Christ or songs sung to Christ. In those two categories, we see all the Psalms fitting one way or another. Well, brother, as we see Christ, we understand that seeing Christ will lead to a changed life. Mm-hmm. So how have you personally sought to live differently in light of seeing Christ in the Psalms?
Well, yeah, the first answer is very simple, brother. I've been encouraged to read the Psalms more, not only obviously in my preparation to preach them, but was renewed in my understanding of how useful they are to read them regularly. So this summer I have been reading them daily, not just the Psalms we're preaching on, obviously, but other Psalms. Hmm. So I've been doing a habit called Psalms of the Day. So there are a few different ways that you could do this. You can either take the day and add 30 to it multiple times. So if it's the first day of the month, you can read the first Psalm, the 31st Psalm, the 61st Psalm, the 91st Psalm, and the 121st Psalm, right? And you do five Psalms that way. Or a little bit more complex math, you can basically do five Psalms a day, and in 30 days you'll read 150 Psalms. So you do 1 through 5, and then 6 through 10, and on through the end of the month. So I've been doing that, and it's been really helpful. Particularly, the Psalms have helped me hope in God's Word. So that's something that we see throughout the Psalms. I was just in Psalm 119, verse 81, last night, and saw this. So Psalm 119, verse 81, David says, "My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word." So even just that simple statement of David helps me to not just hope in the word that is the Psalms, but all of the Bible. And, you know, as you preached for us from Psalm 108, how I think David in Psalm 108 uses God's word in previous Psalms in new contexts, right? So he goes back to these previous Psalms and unites them in a new psalm that becomes Psalm 108 in a new context. And that's just exactly what we do with the Bible. We go read the Psalms and all the rest of the Bible and apply those promises, those hopes in the context that we find ourselves here in 2022. So, yeah, I've just been encouraged with the truth that God's Word is our hope, that we hope in His Word, that we can take it and apply it in all the situations of our lives. So, yeah, that's how I've sought to live differently. How about for you, brother?
One way that I've been affected is through my prayer life. Yes, many of the Psalms that we have read and considered are, in some way or another, a prayer of the psalmist to God. You know, we've mentioned it a couple times. Psalm 22 is the psalm I preached this past Sunday, July 31st, at North Stafford. And that, particularly, I think, is why this is on my mind. I think certainly that has helped me consider how we wrestle with God in prayer. That Psalm 22, in some senses, is David wrestling with God. He sees his despairing situation. He knows things to be true about God, and he's praying because he's trying to bring those two into connection. How do these two connect, these two truths? And so, yeah, I think that's just helped my prayer life, that I feel like I'm able to cry out to God and have words in my crying out to God. You know, Psalm 109, "Be not silent, O God," or, you know, praying for justice, right? In the midst of all the evil things going on in our world, praying that God, who is just, would bring justice, even in this life or in the next. I think those ways have subtly affected how I've prayed, both corporately, but also just in personal day-to-day, that I feel I have words to give to my cries and to God.
Yeah, certainly that's been helpful, hasn't it, brother? In our various meetings, elders' meetings, staff meetings, we read through the sermon texts. So we've been reading through the Psalms and using them to pray for one another and for the church. So it's been sweet to use the language of the Psalms to pray for ourselves and for the church. Well, finally, brother, what's one thing that you would love to see the church take away from these Psalms?
Yeah, I think this was probably the hardest question for me to try and put an answer to, because there's so much, certainly, that I hope that every week, right? We tried to give a different kind of applicational theme that we wanted the church to see and take away. If there was one thing, I would say that it would be to taste and see that the Lord is good. It Psalm 34, I think, encompasses that well. But I think we see that throughout every psalm. Mm-hmm. You know, we could sit here and I could walk us through Psalm 31, Psalm 32, Psalm 33, yeah. 34, on and on, to see how each of our psalms pointed us to the goodness of our God. Mm-hmm. And that my hope is that as a church, one thing we'll take away and see is that the Lord is good. You know, I love that we were doing this in line with our study in Gentle and Lowly as a Sunday school, because I think Gentle and Lowly does that really well. Like, we are seeing the Lord's goodness, right? That his natural work and what is his strange work, as we saw this past Sunday. And so I just think that has been really helpful for me. And one thing that I really hope that the church, yeah, can see is that the Lord is good. No matter what is going on in your life, how are you experiencing the goodness of our God? What about you? What's one thing that you love to see the church take away?
Yeah, you're right that there's so many particular applications of each psalm, but I think in total, from all the psalms, it's something that we've talked about a few times already, is that the Bible is not a collection of ideas to be conquered. And that's especially clear in the psalms, because they're poetry, because they speak of deep experience, right? These are not propositional truths about God. This is not a science textbook. This is not a mathematics. It's not even a book of history, right? It is a personal account of David and the other psalmists of great hardship or great joy. Mm. So I think just the reminder that, the Bible is not a collection of ideas to be conquered for us as Christians to read and master. But the Bible is a testimony to Christ. So we should read the Bible to see and enjoy Jesus. And that would be my exhortation to you, church, again, to from our study in the Psalms, to take that to all of your reading, both in the Old and New Testament, to read the Bible to see and enjoy Jesus, to make that your prayer before you read, to mind the Word as you read, to see what does it says of Jesus, and how is that good, and good for me particularly, take that with you and put it like a hard candy under your tongue and take it with you into the day that I have, like you say, tasted and seen for myself that the Lord is good, particularly the goodness that is seen in Jesus Christ. Yeah, so brothers and sisters, we would encourage you to keep reading the Psalms to see and enjoy Jesus Christ, and to do that together as we treasure Christ together as a church. Thanks, everybody.